The car business is rapidly changing, and modern car dealers are meeting the demand. I'm Michael Cirillo, and together we're going to explore what it takes to create a thriving dealership and life in the retail automotive industry. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with subject matter experts that are designed to help you grow. This is the Dealer Playbook. All right, gang, I am sitting down now with the Vice President of Dealer Development. You see, I'm reading this. The Vice President of Dealer Development and Industry Insights for NIADA, Mr. Jeremy Beck. Thanks so much for joining me on the Dealer Playbook podcast.
Absolutely, Michael. Thanks for having me. And truth be told, I have to read my business card too. Sometimes I don't even know why I'm here. I don't know how I got here.
Dude, what I'm curious about is, in an industry, obviously, that's acronym heavy, is I had to write this down. I'm like, do you ever say you're the VPDDAII?
No, but I'm going to steal that, and I'm going to start saying, just because I want to see people's reactions when I say it and their facial expressions. So I am all in. I'm still in it. I'm telling you right now, I am still in that.
I love it. The VPDDAII for NIADA. I love it so much. I'm excited to chat with you. Obviously, we're on the cusp of the national convention, NIADA, yeah, coming up in Las Vegas in June at time of recording. Hey, if you're listening in the future, there was an amazing event in Las Vegas in June of 2023. Fortunate enough to be a keynote there, which I'm really looking forward to sharing some thoughts, but I want to turn this over to you. I can't imagine how much goes into putting on an event of that scale. Can you just give us a little bit of the behind the scenes? You must have a million plates spinning.
Yeah. So here's what I'll tell those people who are watching in the future. After the show is over, I'm going to have the head of hair that you have at the end of this convention.
That's hair singular, not plural.
You know what? There is a lot that goes into planning this. You know, fortunately for me, I've been in the car business for 25 years. I spent 15 years in retail, and then the last 10 years I have spent kind of on this side. And I've been a part of planning some big events in the past. This probably is by far the biggest event that I've been a part of planning. And certainly, you add a completely different element when you have the expo hall. And so we've got an expo hall with, you know, just over 200 exhibitors that are going to be in there too. And, I mean, there's so much that goes into it. I have been, you know, I'm not a Vegas fan. That's just not me. Vegas. I go to Vegas for work. I don't go to Vegas for fun. But I have been to the Wynn at least six times this year alone, just to start to, you know, make sure that everything is in line. That there's, you know, but you've got educational sessions. You've got all of the partners. You've got all the dealer registrations, you've got all the spouses, you've got all of the, you know, receptions and the after parties, and then you've got expo hall. There's a lot. And I'll tell you this much. There is no way that Jeremy Beck could do any of it. I have an amazing team that has been, a lot of them have been doing this for quite some time. And we've got 30 plus staff members at NIADA, and this has really kind of been our full-time job for the last 6 months. To just make sure that the convention is serving the members. And then you get to deal with all the interesting personalities, right? So it's all the special requests and all that other stuff. It's a lot of fun, but it is definitely a lot of work.
By the way, did my assistant send you my rider that demands a bowl of red M&Ms? No, I'm just kidding.
So you laugh about that, but we've got some that have requests like that.
Oh, okay. Must have alkaline water in the fridge.
Yeah, there's some of those eccentric requests, but you know what? We facilitate them all in the spirit of making sure that we put on the best possible show for members, because at the end of the day, it's about the dealers. It's about, you know, right, putting an event on that can educate and accelerate the dealer's business.
Bring me into the association as well a little bit. I mean, you said just pre-call, you said, was it 15 or 17,000 members in the NIADA?
Yeah, just right at 15,000 independent used car dealers. Yep.
Wow. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I was reading something, and albeit this was maybe going back 2 or 3 years, but I want to say it said there were well over, oh gosh, I'm afraid to say the number just in case it's dramatically wrong, but I want to say it was something like 50,000 independent car dealers.
So it actually, Michael, depends on what you look at. So if you look at license data in all of the 50 states and the U.S. territories, because they have car dealers as well. When you look at all of that and you aggregate all of those licenses, you're talking about 75 to 80,000 used car licenses. Now, you got to peel back the layers of the onion, as I like to say, to really kind of figure out who's at the core. Where are the actual retailers, the car dealers? Because in those used car licenses, you've got wholesalers, you've got the people who will put them. You've all seen them. They'll put them on their front lawn with 4 or 5 cars on their front lawns or whatever the situation may be. So when you start to peel it back and you start to look at actual retailers, the number is somewhere between 45 and 50,000 as best as we can tell. But because it's such a fragmented business, it's not a clear cut line like franchises, like NADA is.
Right.
With the franchises, you know how many licenses there are for franchise dealers. Independent dealers, there's so many different segments and so many different fragments of that you really kind of have to peel it back. So we say, as best we can ascertain, there's somewhere between 45 and 50,000. And then when you start to kind of peel that back even a little bit more and start to get into what is deemed, you know, a volume dealers and all that other stuff, the number we kind of throw around at the association is about 38,000 to 39,000 of what we think are actual used car dealers.
What blows me away about that is I don't think there were 38,000 people in the town I grew up in. And so then to consider that, let's just say there were 25,000. I'm trying to visualize a dealership for every single one of the people represented in the town that I grew up in. And I can't comprehend it.
Dude, think of it for me. So I grew up in a town that had 737 people. That was literally our population sign. Texas. Crawford, we didn't have a stop sign. That was big. We didn't have a stop sign, buddy. but yeah, Crawford, Texas, my brother's graduating class was like 17, 18. And think of when you think of it like that, I don't even know that 35,000 people could fit in the city limits of the town.
That blows me away. And so when I hear 15,000 members of the association, I don't know if it's my OCD or what, but I'm filled with all sorts of anxiety to say we need to get the other 15,000 or 20,000 the support they need through the association. And so that's why, you know, I think about what's coming up and I get excited about it, especially because and I want your thoughts on this. I was thinking about this the other day. I was on the Car Guy Coffee podcast. They brought me on. And they said, you know, what would you say in parting? And it dawned on me in this moment that I said, you remember how we just had a pandemic? Right. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, we are that generation who is experiencing something that's never been experienced before. You could say, oh, well, the Spanish flu. Yeah. But you know what else? They had to boil all of their food back then.
Right.
We're in a high-paced, evolving tech, economic fluctuation, unknown, high interest rates, all sorts of media propaganda. Like we've got all the same things they had, but we have even more that is on our plates.
Yeah.
And how important it is to then get in the room with other progressive thinking individuals. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Michael. I mean, look, I've been in this business for 25 years. I've seen a lot, right? We went through the Great Recession, went through 9/11, and all that happened after that. Thousands, when interest rates, I mean, we think interest rates are high now, but, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, prime interest rate was 10.5, right? And we're not even there yet.
Right.
So, I mean, when you start to kind of think about the evolution of where we've been in literally just 25 years, right?
Right.
It is something that you know, completely changes the dynamic. Like there, I hear, it's funny when you say, when you ask this question, I hear people and I used to just get so irked by it, but I get it now that when I heard people say, I just want to get back to normal. I just want to get back to normal. Right. Or this is the new normal. Like, let's define what the heck is normal, okay? Because I don't know that over the last 25, 30 years in this business, that there is a time period where we can say, yep, that was it. That's normal.
Yeah, right.
So let's define what is normal, or let's start to say normal means ever evolving, right? Mm. And we really have to focus on the ever involvement or evolvement of, or the ever the evolution, if I can say that correctly, the evolution on a day to day, month by month, year by year aspect of this business. I mean, we have to deal with things now that we couldn't have even fathomed 20, 25 years ago. But you know what? We're not having to deal with some of the things that we had to deal with back then. So right. I think the importance of something like this national convention and other places where you get to network. You know, we have a huge 20-group program at NIEDA, and I think the importance of participating in those things are really kind of threefold. One is it allows you to get out of your bubble. Okay, we all live in a bubble. We all get accustomed to doing things that we do every single day. But there's a reason that everybody always says, "Well, that's the way we've always done it." I doubt that's serious. I doubt that's true, right? Because the way you've always done it means you probably weren't around for always, right? And so I think number one, it allows you to get out of your bubble and understand how are other people doing things? How are other people overcoming some of those challenges? What innovative new ideas are other dealers putting out there? Or better yet, partners and vendors and industry affiliates of the industry have to be able to help you increase the efficacy of your business, increase how you go to market and what you do. So I think getting out of your bubble is number one. I think the second thing is you really have to learn to communicate. We talk all the time. We teach all of our salespeople to, you know, to uncover the uncovered, right? And we teach them, hey, ask these probing questions, find out about your customer, find out about what's important to them. But yet we don't do that to ourselves. We don't want people asking all of those questions of our business because we're afraid they might uncover something. Well, you only grow and evolve if you uncover the uncovered, right? If you uncovered or you uncover what is covered, right? And so I think it's extremely important that we learn to communicate. So get out of your bubble and communicate. And I think the third, probably biggest thing is back to that word again that I've said multiple times is evolution, right? Mm. It allows you to understand, get into a culture in your business of evolving. If you get into a culture of change or you get into a culture of whatever other buzzword you want to say, that's fine. But the culture you really need to instill in your dealership is a culture of evolving, right? That you are going to constantly and efficiently evolve your business. And the only way you can do that is by getting out of your bubble and communicating with others. Otherwise, you get stuck in what you've always done. And you think that that's the way that you're always supposed to do it or the only way to do it or whatever, where you are only friends with those that are within a 30-mile radius of your business, right?
Right.
Get outside of that bubble and figure out what are other people doing and continue to evolve and continue to communicate. So I think that's really the big benefit of of coming to events like this, understanding what you're going, what we're going through right now, understanding that we're experiencing things that are life changing. But I don't know that there's a single generation that can't say they didn't experience some type of life changing event, right? So we're not, and this is going to sound really crass, but I say this all the time: we're not special. We just have to figure it out, just like they did before us, right? And if there's one group of entrepreneurs I want to bet on, it's a bunch of car dealers.
Isn't that the truth?
I'm telling you what, the resiliency of our industry is unbelievable.
Well, I think about like the backbone that the retail auto industry is for the economy, that perhaps day in and day out, we just don't take a minute to think about how deeply impactful the industry is to how our country moves and shakes. But in order for it to be the backbone that it is, in the process of which those that work within it develop an incredibly thick skin.
Right.
And that just so happens to be an important ingredient in order to not just weather these storms, but come out of them even stronger, where other people might buckle. Car dealers always come out of it with seeing some opportunity and some silver lining.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're scrappy, right? I tell everybody all the time, like, I would never bet against a car dealer. I would never bet against a car, you know, someone who's been in the car business for 5 years or more, right?
Right.
Because they know how to scrap. They know how to get in there and claw their way out and claw their way back and figure out ways of doing things. And that's what I think, you know, associations like, you know, MADA and NIADA. And I think that's one of the purposes that we have. Right, is to really grow our influence with our members and to show them the things that maybe they aren't looking at business, and to help them facilitate those discussions and those conversations, whether it's food convention, 20 groups, educational sessions, what have you. That's really one of our big purposes at the association, is to help dealers be more scrappy.
It reminds me of a seminar that I attended years and years ago, in which they broke down the four levels of obtaining knowledge, right? So you start with, they use the example of a little child tying their shoe. If you go to a toddler and say, "Hey, tie your shoe," they go, they have, what's it called? They have unconscious, they have subconscious incompetence. They didn't know they didn't know something, which is a scary place to live. And so when I see something like NIADA, a convention, a 20 group, like you mentioned, those are the perfect opportunities to realize maybe there's things you didn't know you didn't know, and to get exposure to those things. Of course, then once you gain exposure, you move to the second step of learning, which is conscious incompetence. Now you know.
You
didn't know. Oh, now I didn't know that. Well, now you know you didn't know something, which then opens the door for you to move to the next level, which is conscious competence. So you think back to a toddler tying their shoes. So they didn't know they didn't know. Now they know they didn't know. So you teach them. Now they have to consciously think, okay, right over left, under pull, left over right, under pull, like that sort of a thing. They work through it. And then eventually, with getting enough reps in, doing it enough times, you move on to subconscious competence. Now you don't even have to think about it. It becomes a motor skill. And so you made me think of that. It's like what you're doing as an association, from events to 20 groups to the articles on your website and your dashboard and all of the different things. It's so critical to get access to those things so you can move through and say, I didn't know that. Now I know I didn't know it. Now I'm mechanically moving through it and getting my reps in, to eventually it becoming motor skill and muscle memory and just being able to do the thing. And so I really appreciate that. And I really urge all those that are listening, all the independent dealers in particular that listen to the pod, have subscribed. if you haven't yet registered or chosen to participate in things that resources that NIADA is putting out, definitely now is the time. Don't wait on that. You had mentioned a little bit about the event. There's going to be some exhibitors. There's some work, training tracks and education tracks and keynotes and things of that nature. What are you most excited for attendees to experience when they show up?
Yeah, I think, I've asked myself that question several times, and I've actually been asked that question. Like, what would you be excited about to go and attend or to do or to participate in? And, I think ultimately one of the things that we tried really hard to do this year, and I think we're going to continue to grow this into future events as we continue on to next year's convention, and certainly into our Buy Here, Pay Here convention that's in November. But one of the biggest things that we kind of really turned our focus to this year is, look, as a dealer, I went to tons of conventions. I go to NADA every single year. I've gone to AFSA. I've gone to all these different places. And, the thing that I always come back to is it's somebody up on stage telling me what I need to do that likely hasn't walked a mile in my shoe, that likely hasn't done it, right? And I'm not meaning that negatively. It doesn't mean that they don't have some grand expertise to give. Doesn't mean that they don't have some knowledge to be able to help you do that. But we kind of took a different stance this year, and we said, what we want to do is we want to formulate what are the dealers struggling with? How can dealers overcome some of those struggles? And then let's go find dealers that are actually doing it, right? And let's put dealers on stage.
Right.
And let's have the dealers up there talking about best practices that they've done, or this or that, or whatever the situation may be, how they've interacted with this piece of software or with this challenge or with this auction or whatever the subject might be. And so you're going to see a very heavy dealer participation on stage at convention this year, talking about the things that have impacted their business, right? As opposed, and it means so much more. I know when I was a dealer, I wanted to hear from other dealers. I could sniff out, if you walked into my office and you tried to sell me something and you were telling me how it was going to make my life so much better, man, I could sniff out really quickly if you had ever sold a car. And if you had never sold a car, I didn't really have much use for you at that point in time. Now, I probably looked past some really good things because of that arrogance or because of that mentality. So I'm certainly not advocating that. But what I am advocating is that, look, there is a healthy balance there somewhere. Right. Sure. And that's what we're trying to really find. And I think that's one of the things I'm most excited about this year, is we're going to be able to hear from a lot of our dealers who are going through the same struggles that our attendees, that our dealer attendees are going through. And man, you're going to be able to get to hear what they're doing and the struggles and the mistakes that they've made and the successes that they've had. And I think it's going to be pretty powerful.
I love it. Well, that is the best note that we could conclude on. I am excited to attend the event, to participate in it, to hopefully add a nugget or two of value. Jeremy Beck, the VPDDAII of NIADA. It's going to stick with me. How can those listening or watching connect with you?
I love to hear from dealers. So you can reach out to me. My email address is Jeremy, Jeremy, at NIADA.com. You can certainly reach out to me from there if you want to register for our convention. And this is before our convention, June 19th through the 22nd. Go to NIADA.com/convention and you can be able to register. It's at the Wynn, which there's not a better hotel on the strip right now than the Wynn, and that's coming from someone who does not like Vegas. But it's a pretty cool hotel or resort. I guess they don't like to be called hotels. So reach out to me if you have any questions. If you want to engage in any way, shape, form, or fashion, reach out to me. I'll help you figure out how to become more involved in the association and your state association, and then ultimately in convention as well.
Love it, man. Thanks so much for joining me on the Dealer Playbook podcast.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it.
I'm Michael Cirillo, and you've been listening to the Dealer Playbook Podcast. If you haven't yet, please click the subscribe button wherever you're listening right now. Leave a rating or review and share it with a colleague. Thanks for listening.